We've been going through just different aspects of the gospel because I think it's important. It's our message to the world, right? So in no particular order, we've just been going through. If you want to hear, everything's online now. The website is updated, so you can find all those previous sermons online. And we're going to continue with it. I don't know how long, but we're just going to continue through the gospel, through who Christ is, what he did, what he made available, who we are, because if we don't know who we are, if we don't know how much he loves us, if we don't know how much he cares, how much he's done for us, we're in essence not walking in his power, right? God's view of us is so much different than we probably actually think. You know, I'm praying that as we go through the word here, as we go through the gospel, that there's a revelation of who you actually are in Christ. It's not who I saw for all those years where I struggled and I made poor choices. But even in that time, he was calling me back. He never gave up on me. And that's the goodness of God. But we got to see ourselves as God sees us, right? Christ paid for the blood, paid with his blood, covered our sins. When he sees us, he sees Jesus. That's the miraculous thing. That's the miraculous part of the word, that he's not seeing me in my former self, how I messed up. He's seeing me as Christ. He's seeing me as somebody loved, his child. And I lean on that. I truly do. Because of my background and what I came out of, I had a really poor view of myself. And I think you all know that by now because I probably said it enough. But it was understanding how Christ saw me, right? It was understanding what Christ did for me that pulled me out of that. And I believe as we go through this, my prayer and hope is that we start seeing it. And we start understanding that, you know what? I am capable of more because I have him. Not because of my own abilities, not because of my own strength, but because I have Jesus. I have the Holy Spirit. What I offer is really nothing. Without him, what I had to offer was nothing. Right? But praise God, we are not without him. And we don't have to be, right? The Holy Spirit, I'm sorry if it just sounds like the same thing, but I want it to take root. The Holy Spirit is essential for this new covenant. He's essential, and we're going to be seeing some of that today. But we need to understand and we need to know that we are capable because of Jesus Christ, no matter what it looks like, no matter how daunting the vision may be, if he's placed it in your heart, walk with him. Walk it out with him. You don't have to do this on your own. I don't have to do this on my own. Because if I was doing this on my own, I wouldn't be doing it. That's just the truth of it. Like, there's times where I start thinking about things and it starts to overwhelm me. But then I remember, I don't have to do this on my own. Lord, you called me here, and each and every one of us can grasp this. Lord, you called me here, or wherever God's called you, and you're going to put people in place. You're going to direct me in wisdom and knowledge to walk this out. So I don't have to fear. I don't have to be anxious. I don't have to let it overwhelm me because he's with me. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. And that applies to each and every one of us. But apply it. Apply it to who you are. Apply it to your life. Because we can do a lot more with him. And it's better with him. My life is infinitely better now that I'm walking in relationship with Christ. It's that important. The gospel is that important. And this is part of the training, I believe. Because every one of us has something to say. Every one of us has something to share. Jesus Christ, his death, his resurrection, and what that brought. Because we'll see here, Paul talked about it all the time. The disciples talked about it all the time. Read Acts, read most of Paul's writings, and we'll get there. But it's Jesus Christ. Him crucified, him resurrected, right? That's what we have. Because it's power. There's power in the gospel. There's power in the gospel, so let's get into it. Go to 1 Corinthians. I'm in 2 Corinthians. That's why it doesn't look right. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 1. This is Paul speaking. And it says, "And I, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom." It's important because Paul knew a lot of things. Paul was a very intelligent man. Paul's background was a Pharisee. And he called himself the Pharisee of Pharisees, so he knew what he was doing. He knew the word of the time. But it says he didn't come in lofty speech or wisdom. "For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." That's a message right there. That's a message each and every one of us can grasp onto, is Jesus Christ and him crucified. Because there was power. There's always been power with Jesus. There was power when he was on the earth, power in his death, power in his resurrection, and power from that time on. "For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and fear and trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." It's not about what I say. I'm not here to persuade you. I'm here to deliver what the Holy Spirit wants you to hear. There's other people out there who, my style is my style, and there's other people out there that are all excited and jumping around and yelling and screaming, and that's fine. I'm not saying anything against it, but that, you know, that'll grab your attention. You know, it stirs up emotions. It gets people fired up, but it's not me convincing you of anything. It's the Holy Spirit inside of you verifying. It's the Holy Spirit inside of you revealing. I'm just a tool. I'm just a tool. So that's, as we go through this, we have to consider the importance of the Holy Spirit because he's the one that reveals. You know, there's been times where I've been listening to speakers and something's just not sitting right inside of me. I believe, you know, that's the Holy Spirit saying, maybe. Nah, not really. But he's there to lead us. He's there to guide us. He's in us. So being led by the Spirit, even when I'm speaking, I challenge all of you, go over what I say. It's not me just speaking to the blind, speaking to the deaf, just follow me like sheep, right? What I say goes because I'm the pastor. No, get into the word, verify what's said. And if I'm wrong, let's talk about it. If there's something inside of you that starts to stir you, let's talk about it. Because I'm still human. I can still fail. I pray that in my ministry that I am sharing the word of God in its truth. I don't want to miss it. I truly don't. Can I miss it? Sure. I'm not perfect, but I want us to be able to have a good enough relationship to where, Pastor, I don't know, help me through this, right? And we'll talk about it. But it should never be, oh, that's just what Pastor said, and nope, no verification, I just believe him. I don't want this to be that. I want each and every one of us taking what was said, dissecting it, and letting the Holy Spirit reveal what it is for each and every one of us. Because it wasn't plausible words of wisdom, but demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Power should follow. Power should be, power gets people's attention, right? And we're going to get to some, to another story here, but man, you pray for somebody and get healed, and they get healed. I don't care if it's of a mental illness, physical illness, I don't care what it is, it's going to grab people's attention. What did Jesus do? Jesus met people's needs. Spirit, soul, and body, he met their needs. That's what he did when he was on this earth. And we're to walk this out with him as our guide, with him. Because, right, if you've seen the Father, you've seen me. That's what Jesus said, right? Jesus did good. He went about doing good, healing all those. Yes, he told people to stop sinning. We can't sugarcoat it, right? He came here for a reason, right? But it's great. He would heal people, and then he would tell them, stop sinning. Nobody was saved at the time. Nobody had this personal relationship with Christ. Israel was pretty lost at the time. But he went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed. And I truly believe that same power is in us. It's there. But, and I'm talking to myself, do I believe that in here? Do I believe that when I lay hands on the sick, they will recover? And I'll tell you, there's some fluctuation there. But I have laid hands on the sick and they have recovered. It's happened. It's happened. It's happened in this church. It's happened at Lake Elmo. I prayed for a young man at Lake Elmo. I was a dancer and had knee problems. He's still dancing, thank God. But and then it's not me, right? It's just the power of God working through me. It's not you, it's the power of God working through you. But if it's never even in your mind that, you know what, I could help them. If that never even crosses our mind when we see people who are hurting, you know what, I could help them. I can't do that. Lord, I can't possibly do that. I can't possibly go pray for that person and expect something good to happen. Right? That's me. But the Spirit inside of me says, go. I don't care if they're a Christian or not. God wants to heal. Right? Jesus healed a bunch of people that weren't Christians at the time, who had broken the covenant, who were sick. Right? Because there was. The Old Testament gave them a covenant that if they did this, and if they did this, and if they did this, they would walk in blessing. They would walk in health. There wasn't a whole lot of that going on in Israel at the time. There wasn't a whole lot of faith going, you know, like when we talk about faith, it was Gentiles who Jesus talks about, man, how great is your faith, right? the Roman centurion. Like, Israel was in a hard spot, but he came to reveal himself to them. He came to heal. He came to teach. It wasn't just healing, but he was also teaching, right? He was providing for people's needs. And we can model ourselves after that. It's not about what I possess, but what's in me, right? I have dreams of being in a much different financial situation to help people, right? I've said it before. Somebody sent me to school. I want to send people to school. I want to send people to CARIS because it blessed me that much. I'm not there yet, but I'm believing I'm going to. But if I don't ever see it in here, if I can't even imagine it, if I can't even think about it, how can I possibly give it away out here? And I believe that comes with knowing who you are in Christ, knowing what he did on the cross, resurrection, knowing what's available to us. We have the Spirit of the living God residing inside of us. The same Spirit that fell on Jesus, that filled Jesus, and then he went about doing good. It's not a different spirit. It's the same spirit. But I challenge us, because it's me too. I've actually had dreams about this. Healing somebody with a withered hand. I don't know why that sticks in my spirit the way it does, but I have dreamt about it, and I've seen it become whole. I need to see it up here so it can develop in here. We need to see ourselves helping these communities. We need to see ourselves changing people's lives in these communities. We need to see ourselves, I mean, because I can tell you, before God got a hold of me, I could see myself as a loser very easily. I could see myself not measuring up in any way possible. I could see that, and it manifested itself in my life. I could see myself being a bad husband. I could see myself being a bad father. I could see my life being worthless. And what do you know? That's what was playing out in my life. It matters what we meditate on. It matters what we think upon. If you're starting to get down on yourself, start thinking about Jesus. If you're starting to get down on yourself, start thinking about the Holy Spirit and who he is and what he is, what he has, what's available. Build yourselves up. I need to build myself up because I'm still me sometimes. Ah, man, I don't know why, but every now and again, the old toe wants to slide over into the old self. I don't know. You know, we're all growing, myself included. But I need to build myself up. Because of how prominent depression was in my life, I can take something and just turn it into something horrible very easily. And I can get down on myself and I can really start, oh, this is hopeless. But no, it's not hopeless, right? I don't know everything, but I know some things. And I know if I start meditating on his goodness and I start declaring his goodness, something different is going to happen. And sometimes I have to force myself, because when you get in these moods, you're not instantly ready to just praise God. Fake it until you make it, man. I don't care. Because guess what? When you start walking around, and I've done it, so I know. Thank you, God. You're good. You're great. You're holy. You're the only one that can get me through this. And praying in tongues is big for me, so I'll start forcing myself to pray in tongues. And then, I'm not kidding you, before long it's, man, the Spirit of God is just rising up inside of me. And then all of a sudden I'm actually praising him. I'm not just faking it anymore, right? I'm actually praising him. I'm actually seeing his glory, seeing his goodness. But I had to just start walking it out. Sometimes we gotta, you know, prime the pump. It's not instant for me, but I encourage you to do it. I encourage us, instead of going down those roads that lead to nothing, whether you gotta force yourself or not, start walking around that, walking down that road that leads to him. So I want to read that verse again. 2 Corinthians 2:4. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but of a demonstration in the spirit of power. You don't have to have something amazing to say, ready to go. You just need to be led. Right? Man, start building yourself up with the word. Start getting the word inside of you, because I guarantee when you get into situations, the Holy Spirit's going to bring that stuff back. Be led by the Holy Spirit. Don't be overwhelmed by, well, what am I going to say? What am I going to do? I can't possibly share with this person. I can't possibly talk to this person. I don't even like people. And you want me to talk to somebody? I know that person. But look at me now. Amen. But it's not about what I say. It's about what he has to say through me. We put so much pressure on ourselves to have the right thing to say. Well, what if I say the wrong thing? No, it's not about that. It's about just being led. Man, pray for a second. Let the Holy Spirit bring it up. We are not walking this life out alone. We don't have to do this on our own. Don't put this pressure on you that you have to figure this out on your own. And you have to have the right words to say every time you meet somebody. That's not it. We have the Holy Spirit. We rely on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, how, like, when I preach, it's as simple sometimes as a single word that he'll just bring into my spirit. I'll read it, whatever it is. It can be a simple word, and he'll start revealing. And it's not me coming up with these great ideas. It wasn't Paul coming up with these great ideas. It was the Holy Spirit in him. It was the revelation that God had given him. He didn't need to do anything fancy, right? He didn't need to come in and wow you with his big words and how knowledgeable he was. He came in and demonstrated the Spirit of God, and people listened. And demonstrations, right? So demonstrations can be manifestations as well, right? Demonstration, manifestations. But it's not just physical healing. It is that, but it's not just that. Why can't it be mental healing? Why can't it be spiritual healing, right? Why can't it be, well, I feel fine, but I have some turmoil in my heart. Why can't it be Holy Spirit revealing to you? Pray for their heart, right? Maybe he says, pray for their arm, pray for their leg. Maybe they have diabetes, whatever, pray for them. But it's not limited. The demonstrations of power that the Holy Spirit can do are not limited to what I think is possible, to what I think is necessary. a good story. Andrew Womack tells this one. He saw a guy coming up in a wheelchair. He's like, oh, I bet you he wants me to pray for him to walk. The guy comes up, and he's about to talk, and the guy's like, I just need prayer for my heart. I'm just hurting inside right now. Could God heal him too and stand him up out of that wheelchair? Absolutely. But that man's heart was just, he needed something fixed on the inside of him. Don't assume, don't presume, just be led, right? Be led. Meet the needs of that person. And I believe we can meet the needs of people because that's what Jesus did. It's on the inside of each and every one of us. We can do it. And you hear me say that a lot, and I'm going to continue to say a lot. We are able because of him. Because of him, we are able to walk this life out in a relationship with God that's meaningful. It doesn't guarantee ease. In fact, it's not easy. It's not. But when I would rather walk out something hard with Christ than without him. I say tap into Christ. I say tap into the Holy Spirit because it changes things. Take the pressure off yourself and just say, Holy Spirit, speak. Because if you want to go to Luke 12 real quick, Luke chapter 12. Luke 12 verses 11 through 12. If I can find it. Luke 12, 11 through 12. And when they bring to you, this is Jesus speaking, before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious of how you should defend yourself or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. And I believe we can translate into that just simple conversations. I believe any interaction with any person can be dictated by the Holy Spirit. I believe any interaction with any person can plant a seed of hope. Can change somebody's heart. Because that's how we change people is through their hearts. People are hurt. People don't know what's going on in the world right now. There's fear, there's anxiety, there's depression, there's stress. There's everything related to life. But we don't have to live life like the world lives life. And we have a message we can give to the world to change that. We have a message that can help. More than just help. Right? It can lead to eternal life. And what is eternal life? Knowing God. Yes, there's going to be some amazing things along the way, but it's God. God who's supplying and delivering all those amazing things in eternity. But once again, we don't have to wait till we're dead to experience life. Well, when I get to heaven, then things will change. I just got to get to that point. If I can just make it until I die, things will get better. Why can't things get better now? Right? Why can't I say, Holy Spirit, I am struggling, I am lacking, I don't understand this at all, help me. I had to do that with finances. I had to do that with a lot of things. Relationships with God in general. Like, help. Because I'm not getting it. He's our helper. Right? He's our teacher. We can go to the, like, it may seem odd, but I talk to the Holy Spirit like I'm talking to one of you. Why not? Why not? Because I need help and he's my helper, so I'm going to go to him. I need to be led. I don't know where I'm going. Lead me. All these things. Stop putting the responsibility on you and put the responsibility on God. Lord, you said this. I'm willing. I'm willing to receive. I'm willing to learn. You said this. Help me. Right? For me, it was, don't be anxious about anything. You said it, Lord. Reveal it to me. Right? And I'm still working on things, but that was a huge one in my life. Don't be anxious for anything. Let God reveal that to you and watch how it changes your life. But guess how he changed it? Through the Holy Spirit, through the Word. Because if you read a little further along, it tells you what we're supposed to be thinking on. Anything that's good, holy. And on it goes. Philippians 4:8. Read it. I didn't have to go far to find the answer. But when I was searching for the answer with the Holy Spirit, because I've read those verses time and time again, I had. I wasn't ignorant of the Bible. But it wasn't being revealed to me because I was trying to figure it out on my own. Right? When I go into the Word and I say, Holy Spirit, help me. When I read those verses, all of a sudden, things started to change. I can't even tell you how they changed. There's instances that I could point to, but there was times where it's just like, how did that even happen? Because that's the amazing God we serve. I don't have to understand it. I want to understand it. I don't want to be ignorant. But God's a good God. And he blesses us with things that we don't always understand, but are still meaningful, still have purpose, still are effective. Don't limit God. Don't limit the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't limit what Jesus did. Because it's the gospel that sets people free. It's the gospel that sets people free. Let's go to Acts. A few more verses and we'll close up. Nice, I won't finish. I'll have more for next week. Perfect. Acts chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 11, but just a little backstory. So Peter and John are going to the temple to pray. And at the gate beautiful, they encounter the man, the lame man, who was brought there every day. Every day of his life, he was brought to that gate and he begged for alms. He begged for alms, and here comes Peter and John. And the man asked for alms, and Peter looked at him. The man looked at him back with some sort of expectancy, because I bet most people didn't even look at him. Right? Alms, alms. I don't want to deal with them. Those people on the side of the road. How many times do we pull up to an intersection and just look the other way? Just waiting for the light to turn. And just waiting for the light to turn. And when it turns, we're gone, baby. This lame man, I would assume, was no different. He'd been there for a long, long time. He'd been brought to that gate for a long, long time. And I'm sure people just were tired of him, ignored him. He annoyed them. Stop asking me. Right? And so a lot of people, most people, I would say, this is just me. This is my thoughts. Probably just ignored him. I'm too busy. I got to go pray. And away they go. You're holding me up from seeking the Lord. Right? Right? Me? But Peter looked at him. And this man went, ooh. Because it says, Peter looked at him and he looked back in expectancy. Because somebody looked at him. And he went, ah, I'm about to get something. And Peter said, silver and gold have I not, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. Grabbed him by the hand, yanked him up, and he did what? He went walking and leaping and praising God. Just sends chills. He didn't go to rehab. He didn't have to learn how to use his legs. This man had never walked in his life. But when God healed him, he not only walked, but he went leaping. And man, I bet you people noticed. Well, it says they did. Isn't that the guy that sits at the gate beautiful? Can you imagine? Imagine it. Let it stir you up. It's okay to smile about it because it's pretty awesome. It's okay to let it fill up your spirit. It's okay to have an expectancy of God doing something good in your life, and not just in your life, but in other people's lives. It's okay to think that. It's okay to meditate on those things. Lord, how can I help people? Lord, what can I give others? In any sense of the word, give. How can I help others? Lord, man, I mean, it's pretty awesome. And it says he clung to them. Because they went in, all of a sudden there's all these people around them, right? Everyone's taking notice. This guy's walking. And he's not just walking, he's jumping. He's praising God. Like, this guy's letting it all out. I guarantee the thought of silver and gold had left his mind. Right? Because now he was whole. I guarantee this man looked at others just doing meaningless jobs, quote unquote. I wish I could do that. Right? Because we weren't meant to beg. We weren't created to beg. We weren't created to be less than. We weren't created to not be whole. So when you're not whole and you're relying on other people for everything, I would imagine that weighs on you. I was on unemployment for 7 months one time. I'm not proud of that because I was capable of getting a job, but I didn't want to get a job because I was in a pretty bad place in my life. And, you know, the thought was, I'm just going to go on unemployment. I'm going to live my life. It's going to be easy. I don't have to do anything. I just got done with 4 years in the military. They owe me a little bit, right? I put in my time. They can help me out for a little bit. I can't tell you how much more worthless that made me feel. We're not meant to not do anything. Now, is it okay to take a break? Is it okay to rest? Absolutely. But we're not meant to just do nothing. So it wasn't that this man's legs were healed and he could walk and move, but it opened up a whole world of life, of meaning, right? Like, it didn't just change his legs. It changed everything else about him. And in my instance, it was amazing when I started going back, working, providing for my family. They may not have been great jobs, but I was still providing. I was doing something we were just meant to do. Paul was a tent maker. He didn't just travel around and expect everybody else to pave his way. He worked. Jesus was a carpenter. Like, great. My goal is to someday be full-time ministry. But it's not going to be to the point where, oh, I'm full-time ministry, I can just sit down now. That's not it. This thing. That's not it. It's, Lord, what are you going to have me do? What do you want from me? How can I be effective? When I'm not doing anything, how can I be effective? And it eats at you because it's not the way it's supposed to be. I'm sorry. Like, retirement. Retirement is good. But how many in retirement just do nothing? No one. Everybody's still doing something because we want meaning in our life. My father, I remember when he retired, I said, Dad, how's retirement going? Oh, man, I'm more busy now than I was when I was working. Helping this kid out, helping that kid out, helping these people out. Good. Good. Right? It's not about doing nothing. It's about being directed by the Holy Spirit. And I want to be directed by the Holy Spirit until the day I die. I don't want it to be meaningless. I don't want it to be about nothing, right? I want it to be Spirit-led. I want to walk by somebody and the Holy Spirit say, look at them. And then what? Right? I was listening to a man. He's actually out of Minneapolis, and that's what his ministry is. Homeless, you know, panhandlers and beggars and everything else. And yes, there are those out there that are abusing the system, but there are those out there that truly need help, right? And he said the number one thing is how he connects with these people is he looks at them. They'll come up to you, he'll go up to them and start talking to them, and they'll just be like, man, thank you so much. You know, you don't know how worthless I feel when everybody just turns away. Like, just the fact that this man looked at them and started a conversation, and he carries socks, he carries underwear, he carries all these things in his car. He always has it on hand. Gift cards, whatever. Hey, you need some socks? Yep. And that's his ministry. But the point is, he made somebody feel like a human being. Right? Simply by looking at them. And I bet he smiled too. But he just gave somebody some attention. Right? Peter gave this man some attention. And that man looked back at him with expectancy. And he didn't preach to him for an hour. He didn't say, are you saved? I can't help you until you're saved. He looked at him and said, I don't have gold and silver, but I do have the power of the Holy Spirit. Not in those words. But he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. That's what he had. That's what we have. So I encourage us, I encourage myself, we don't have to overthink this thing. We don't have to make this complicated. It's Jesus. It's the gospel. And it's being led by the Spirit. And we'll get into more of this next week. Amen. Amen. We'll pray and close up here. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you're just revealing yourself to each and every one of us in exactly the way that we need it. Lord, I pray as we go out through the rest of the week, that it doesn't stop, Father, that we just continually seek you. Seek you, seek your goodness, seek what you have for each and every one of us, because what you have for us is good. It's worthwhile. It's not a waste. And Father, help us to understand that it's not as complicated as we can make it. And I pray that as we go out through this week, that we'll just see your love. When we look at people, we'll just see your love. You'll reveal what needs to be helped. You'll reveal what needs to be changed. I just give you all the praise and the glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody have a wonderful week. There's stuff downstairs, so hang around, fellowship. If you can't, have a good one.